Look with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. My text is verse 5 through 8. And the title of this message is Praying Unto the Lord. Last time in chapter 6, 1 through 4, we saw what it is to give unto the Lord. But here, 5 through 8, praying unto the Lord. Now, both of these are acts of worship. In other words, giving unto the Lord, we give out of a heart of grace because of His work for us. So it's returning unto the Lord what is due unto His glory. Anything done for any other reason than to worship the Lord is vain worship and dead works. Just like with giving, it should not be done to be seen of men. So praying is an act of worship out of a heart that the Lord has redeemed by His grace and therefore seeks the Lord. By this standard, we'd have to say that the majority of what goes on in the name of worship today is not worship, because men do it to be seen of men, or they do it for some reward, personal gain, or out of fear of judgment, that if they don't do it, then they'll be judged. But none of that is the right reason. Oh, that the Lord would so move in our hearts that everything we think, do, and say is because of what Christ has done on our behalf, and in return we thank Him. It's a thank offering unto the Lord. But just as the Lord did with noting the false reasons why people gave of their substance, here also the Lord notes the false way in which people approach Him in prayer. So my text can be divided in two parts. One, the examples of the wrong kind of prayer. That's in verses 5 and 6. And then the right way to pray, verses 7 and 8. So let's see what our Lord says, giving examples of the wrong kind of prayer here in verses 5 and 6, Matthew 6, 5 and 6. He says to his disciples, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And then we'll jump over 6, because really 6 and 8 are the right ways to pray. But verse 7, he says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So in verses 5 and 7, our Lord denounces the wrong way to pray. And then verses 6 and 8, he gives instruction on the right way to pray. He says in verse 6 concerning the right way to pray, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So verse 6 is in contrast to verse 5, where people want to be seen of men, and the Lord says, "No, enter into the privacy of your home and seek the Lord without people even knowing that you're praying unto Him." And then verse 8 answers the practice of people who think that by their much speaking and repetition in prayer that they will be heard. Verse 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of," notice, "even before you ask Him." So these bad practices that the Lord sheds light on here, we see even in our day, people, what they call prayer really isn't prayer, because they do it to be seen of men, and they think that by repetition and constantly bringing up requests before the Lord that they'll be heard. Both of these Christ denounces.
Ipajeti kaona kundi nangewe yamba jisano yoi wone tila uti anto ama kuna tiwige uweza weza mawao uweza weza mapeo kipane ata hige kumanso agama kuleza koncho kula mkula mtiwiga njiko mene mungu ama ya uka ama pimpero wao mene mtina nto akulira mkwani mtiwiga ukupepe na kiko kukute.
Any who practice these methods and call it prayer, the Lord calls them hypocrites. You see that word there in verse 5? We saw it with giving as well, but here in verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. We saw that word last time with regard to giving. The word actually means to act, to be an actor. So people are acting out as if they're doing something for the Lord, and yet their motive is to be seen of men. Now here in this first instance that the Lord points out in verse 8, he addresses the people who loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. This would be like people in our day that organize these prayer sessions, and they'll go out into the marketplace and get in a circle, and they'll begin to address their God, or sometimes they'll invite people for prayer meetings to their congregations, and you'll find different ones loving to stand and act. See, they're hypocrites. They act as if they're praying unto the Lord, but they're really doing it to be seen of men. There were two main places in our Lord's day where a Jew might pray in a hypocritical manner. They might pray at the synagogue, that was their assemblies, at the time of public prayer, or on the street at appointed times, usually at 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. That's when they organize these times to stop their work and to pray, so-called, to be seen of men. We've seen this particularly in the Muslim religion, where they're called upon to pray five times a day. And if the driver of the taxi is a Muslim, well, he's going to stop driving and pull over, and you might be a passenger, but you're going to sit there and watch him bow his head to the earth, get his prayer mat out, and go through the motions. This is the way the Jews would do it, only they would stand and sometimes have their hands up toward heaven and would be going through the motions at those specific times, 9, noon, and 3.
Kunoko kulululina la jislamu limene ni
That's why Paul wrote about them in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2. He said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they're religious, but they are ignorant of the true righteousness of God in Christ. The Jews typically would not practice standing on the street corners to pray, but because the rule was that they were to pray at those specific hours, 9, noon, and 3, if they couldn't make it to the synagogue for those times, then they would stop what they were doing and stand there in order to observe the time of prayer. But ultimately, they did it to be seen of men.
I would ask you, so am I media of a pen eye.
Now we've seen this even in our day among groups of people that consider themselves Christian, but they organize these meetings, prayer meetings, and they'll have all night prayer meetings to get people's attention. They want people in the neighborhood. They use it to try to evangelize. And so they want people to see them doing what they're doing in order to impress them that that's where God is blessing. I've heard people use that reasoning as to why you should always bow your head and pray before you eat. And this is a practice that's taught in religion, that you don't take a bite of food until you've asked the blessing. And I've heard people say the reason is that way those around you will know you're a Christian, because they'll see you bowing your head and praying. And so therefore, that's a good witness. Well, that's not why you pray. I remember the first time, because I was raised that way, that you didn't take a bite until you'd prayed. And it was to be a testimony, if you were in a restaurant or someplace, a testimony to those around that you were a Christian. I remember the first time when I sat down to eat with a family and they didn't pray before the meal. They just went ahead and started eating. And when I questioned them, they asked me, well, aren't you thankful? And I said, yes, I'm thankful. And so they said, well, let's eat. That's what it is to be thankful. It's not the performance of bowing your head and getting people to notice that somehow you're a Christian. There are many people that bow their heads to pray, so-called, that don't know anything of the Lord. Now, if we're together with others that are the Lord's and one feels compelled to thank the Lord, to pray, that's not a bad thing, but you don't do it to be seen of men. You don't organize prayer meetings to be a witness to people in the neighborhood so they can come and see how you pray and how spiritual you are. That is hypocritical. The Lord is not condemning true prayer. In fact, later on, next time, we'll see what is a true prayer. But what he's condemning is these acts of so-called prayer that are not even to be heard by God, but rather to be seen by men. And I'll tell you, this is a common fault in public prayer today. Just like before our meeting, we ask somebody to pray and lead us in prayer. That's very difficult because we're not to pray to impress others with our prayer or to somehow teach them how to pray following our example. But true prayer is the pouring out of our heart before God. It's produced by the Spirit of God and not to be seen of men. As many years as I've been preaching the gospel and leading congregations in worship, I will tell you, it is never easy to have to pray in public because your thoughts must be toward the Lord and not toward the people hearing you. And any kind of prayer that's designed to impress others, even with how spiritual you are, is vain. There are times when we may be called upon to pray in public, in other words, before the assembly, but in our hearts, we need to be already asking the Spirit to direct our prayer unto the Lord, that it be unto Him and not unto men. That's what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. If you'd like to look there, Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And note, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because what? He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Pakuti chimene tisipemba mungachienera sitidziwa. Koma mzimu mwini atipempherera ndichobuula zosatheka kuneneka. Ndipo iye amene asandula mmitima adziwa chimene atisamulira mzimu. Chifukwa atipempherera oyera mtima monga mwachifuno cha Mulungu.
So we need to be reminded, especially as often as we meet for worship, that it must be the Spirit of God that directs every part of that worship unto the Lord. Otherwise, we don't know how to worship as we ought. We need the Spirit to be our intercessor, our advocate. And what these people call praying in the Spirit is anything but. It's another spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. Our Lord was filled with the Spirit, but He never spoke gibberish. He never fell out shaking on the ground as if somehow He was filled with the Spirit. No. He spoke as directed by the Spirit, prayed to His Father as directed by the Spirit, and that's how He directs His children. So we know that any prayer directed by the Spirit is going to be to the glory of Christ, because our Lord Himself said that the Spirit, when He came, would not speak of Himself, but He would take those things concerning Christ and reveal them unto us. That's what it is to pray, not to be seen of men, but that Christ alone be glorified. In fact, I would go a step further and say that it's not only wrong, but it is an insult to God when we move our mouths and we mouth words towards God, all the while trying to impress others. We then use God merely as a tool to impress others, and He will not be used that way. Now, coming back to verse 5 of Matthew 6, our Lord tells them the same thing He told them with regard to their giving. If they do it to be seen of men, they have their reward. You see that? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When He says they have their reward, it doesn't mean that they have their reward of God, but they have their reward of men, because they prayed to be seen of men. And so when men applaud them, or after a public prayer say, "Wow, that was really some prayer, brother," you have your reward. Beware of taking glory to yourself in any part of worship. I don't care whether it has to do with a public prayer that people want to compliment somehow, or even your preaching that they want to somehow give you the glory. That's the time to immediately say to them, "I'm thankful, but I give the praise and glory to the Lord alone." And that's why the Lord said, "Better to enter into thy closet," verse 6. That word actually means your room, a private room. Better to go into that room and privately express, make your requests known unto God. I remember one time someone saying to me that they never saw those of our congregation praying. And I said to them, "Well, why would you? Because true prayer is not done to be seen of men. It's from the heart, and it's addressed to the Lord. And I said, how do you know whether they're praying or not? Because the scriptures say to do so in the privacy of your home and not out in public. What they were criticizing was that we did not organize so-called prayer meetings where people would come and they would make the request known and there was a public demonstration of praying to the Lord. That's what the Lord denounces. In reality, every time we meet together, it is a prayer meeting. We prayerfully sing songs unto the Lord. Those are prayers unto the Lord. We prayerfully read the scriptures. That's our hearts directed toward the Lord through His Word. And we prayerfully hear the message preached. All of that is unto the Lord. So our Lord here is not prohibiting public worship. We're encouraged to meet together for public worship and to address prayers unto the Lord, but it should always be directed to the Lord and not towards men. So there are those that pray to be seen of men, and now in verse 7, we have those who pray. In other words, use vain repetitions. It says, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. There are some that think that unless they've prayed for a long time, that somehow they have not prayed. True prayer actually is not based on the number of words that are repeated, but rather the heart that the Spirit directs toward the Lord. The Jewish rabbis had a saying that whoever is long in prayer is heard. So whenever somebody was directed to pray, the longer they prayed, the more likely they would be to hear. That was the custom of the day. But if you go back and study the recorded prayers of the Lord's people in Scripture, and that would be quite a study, you'll find that they were few in words. They praised God, glorified His Son, and magnified and lauded Him and then we're quiet. This would be a good study sometime if you want to do it, to study the difference in 1 Kings 18 between the worship of the prophets of Baal, how they danced around the altar all day long and cut themselves attempting to get an answer from God, versus Elijah's simple prayer at the end, which is very few words, and yet the Lord heard him because he prayed as unto the Lord. The God of the Bible is not impressed by the length or eloquence of men's prayers. Here again, prayer is a matter of the heart and not the tongue. When we try to impress God, or worse, other people, with our many words, what we're doing is denying who God is, as it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5, 2. God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Chapter 5 and verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5, 2.
Mlaniki chapter 5 in the Matthew Chirio.
It's better to be silent before the Lord and ask Him to teach us through His Word than to be speaking, constantly speaking before Him, thinking somehow by that we're going to be heard.
Yes.
There in Matthew 5:7, when the Lord says, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, that word in the Greek language is the word babble. Not to be babbling before the Lord, or like we say here in the United States, blah, blah, blah. If somebody's just talking, 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 go blah, blah, blah. That's vain repetition.
When
people think that somehow they're impressing God or informing God or influencing God by their prayers. They don't know God. In reality, the only voice that our Father, God, hears is that of His Son, who intercedes on behalf of His people. It's His voice that needs to be heard, not ours. And the other reason that the only voice that God the Father has ever heard to satisfaction has been that of His Son, and that it's the Son's intercession on behalf of His people that is our need, not our addressing them to God, but the Son interceding for us. You can see there in verse 8 to conclude, your Father knows what things you have need of before ye ask Him. Isn't that what a father is? Doesn't the Father know the needs of His children? He doesn't need His children reminding Him to provide food or reminding Him to provide cover. The Father knows these things even before a child asks. To hear some people, the way they pray, so-called, it's as if they're informing God. They're telling God of things that they think that He didn't know before they told them. No, true prayer is to commune with God by His Spirit because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for His children. That's true prayer. If every time your children came to you and it was always to ask for something, always need more money, always need more of this, more of that, and never just to sit down and commune with you and say, just stop by to visit and wanted to talk with you, you would wonder what your child truly thinks of you. Is there really any love there for you if all they can do is ask, ask, ask? So according to verse 8, since the Father knows what things we have need of even before we ask, then how are we going to spend our time with Him? We're going to spend our time glorifying Him and thanking Him for all He does and desiring that the light of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shine even brighter in our own hearts as we seek communion with Him. So the next time we'll pick up with verse 9 and go down to verse 15 to see how the Lord taught his disciples to pray. This is the disciples' prayer. People call this the Lord's Prayer. It's not. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. This one is the disciples' prayer. This is how he taught us to pray. So we'll look at that next time. So you can read and study that ahead, and Lord willing, we'll consider it together next time. I'll turn it back to you.
Speechless am I, my dear brother. You have preached it to me. I don't know anything about the prayers now.
Mm.
The Lord is so faithful.
Yeah.
He has preached it to teach me, to teach us about prayer.
Amen. Yeah.
He helped and did you preaching to us over this so that we might not go at all. Because if the road is not with us, then we'll go astray.
Mm. Amen.
Thank God